Pastor's Heart, and Dominic Steele here, and thanks for joining us. My guest today is Greg Peasley. We've been mates for 20-odd years. He's the senior minister of Pitt Town Anglican Church. And just before we come to Greg, our mission on the Pastor's Heart is to, serve senior pastors particularly, but anybody really in Christian ministry, as we engage together in the mission of seeking the lost and building up the saints. If you'd like to subscribe, you can do that on our webpage, thepastorsheart.net, and subscribe via the email, or you could subscribe on the audio podcast. If you're on an Apple device, just type in bit.ly/thepastorsapple into your browser. On an Android device, type in bit.ly/thepastorsandroid. Or if you'd like to subscribe to our YouTube channel, it's bit.ly/thepastorsyoutube. Now, Greg Peasley, thanks for coming in.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting me.
Yep. We were mates at Theological College 20-odd years ago, and never could we have imagined we'd have this conversation in the...
It's nothing that you plan or nothing that you really... You're not unaware that things can go wrong and we live in a fallen world, but you always think it'll be someone else and you're sort of with them rather than it'll be you.
So how did you work out it was you?
There was no warning, really. It was sort of funny in a way. It was funny in the way that I'd had a week where my wife and daughter kept saying to me that who's stolen my dad, my husband, because I kept not caring too much about deadlines and stuff like that.
And you're a real prompt turn-up on time person.
Yeah, turning up half an hour early is about being on time as far as I'm concerned.
And you got sloppy.
And I got sloppy. And there was a few instances and they kept making fun of me, but I didn't notice. I just thought it was happening. I was going to the desk and being frustrated by not ticking off the boxes I like to achieve. And I just noticing that everything was taking longer to be done, but I hadn't noticed anything. And I'd had, a headache in the background for the week that I kept dealing with here and there, but it wasn't bad. It was just a headache. We had a big Sunday. There were other churches coming around for some missionaries that we were sending out to the field again. And everyone was there and I was preaching and leading. It just worked out that way. And at the end of it, a little contingency of people came up and said, "You should go to the hospital right now. Something's wrong."
And that was really the first time you knew.
First time you knew, yeah. And so it was a funny week, but a week where I didn't get much done type week.
Yeah.
And then they came up and said it. And everyone sort of agreed, something's funny. You weren't yourself. So I was much more, where normally I would think while I'm speaking, if that makes sense, I would think I was thinking while I was speaking, but I'd actually stopped. And I'd be going along a little bit and I'd go, "That kid, I better do something with him. But I'd gone quiet.
Right.
And then I would do what I was going to do. Where normally I'd look and go, "Will I deal with that or not?" And I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
So I'd done a lot of that where normally I speak quite quickly. In stuff that people don't have to get the detail of.
So you went to Westmead Hospital and Sue and the kids were there?
Just Sue took me to hospital. In triage, they just said what happens. They said I've been acting strange, had a bit of a headache during the week, and a bunch of people who knew me well said go to hospital. So I went to hospital. Yep. And they basically put me on a trajectory of brain surgery, probably a tumour, straight away from triage, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. They picked it. And everything they said was going to happen happened.
And
in no time.
Wednesday, big operation.
Yeah. So in Sunday night, MRI, CT scans, asking the questions, plan for the operation. In on Wednesday about lunchtime, operation. Really the next thing I knew, was it took. It probably a bit of a dream the couple of days afterwards, even though I was there, but it went whack like that.
Yeah.
It was, and next I'm recovering from brain and I'm looking around the ward going, "Who am I with in this room?"
Yeah. But
They're all people coming out of surgery and yeah. Yeah.
Then was it the following Monday night you got the kind of the real diagnosis news?
Yes.
Perhaps take us to that moment, because it was you and your children all together in the cafeteria at the hospital?
Yeah. So Monday nights with our family is a family night. And so it has been every week, but as our kids have got married, it gets a bit. So every second Monday night, we have family night.
They come for dinner.
And they decided on their own bat, they're going to bring dinner to hospital since I'm in hospital.
Yeah.
So we've gone downstairs and we're having, a nice dinner together. And then the surgeon came and said, okay, we've got the news. We've got the biopsy back. We can now tell you the full story, but finish off your dinner, come upstairs and we'll tell you all.
Okay.
And then.
So you head upstairs, you're back in the ward. Your boys are married.
Yep.
Their wives were there.
Yep. And my daughter. Yep.
Tell us about that conversation.
Well, it's a funny thing to say that they're giving you a little bit of stuff to read, but I'm not taking it that serious. Well, I'm taking it seriously, but I'm not trying to understand. I'm full of drugs. I'm feeling quite good. If you know what I mean. And so I'm sitting quite comfortable enjoying it. And so, I read the stuff, but I hadn't actually processed it yet. But when she said it, registrar, she said it very, very nicely, but it was a lot of one of those ones that you could just play back in your head. But basically she said, yes, it's a tumor. Yes, it's a bad one. Yes, it's aggressive. Yes, it's wild type.
Wild type?
It's one of the ways of describing a cancer that is, so they can call it four, and they can also add a word called wild type. And that sort of says, it grows quickly. So fourth is a stage, as I understand it. Wild type is how fast it moves. So it's in last stages and it's fast moving.
As I understood it, it's basically as bad as it can be. Is that right?
So they give you the stuff and it's all sort of, it's the same stuff. But then when you go sort of searching and looking and hoping that Mr. Google's selling the right thing, trying to go to the right places, you find that in other places around the world, they'll put the word deadly when they describe it. So in Australia, they'll say it's this GBM, which is what I've got. It's type 4, wild type, and a few other things on the side of it. But they don't add the word, terminal or deadly or whatever. But when you're reading it, it is.
Right.
And so other places put deadly in front of it. So it's deadly with a median expected lifespan, so to speak, of between what can be early, but 15 months to 18 months.
Right.
Yeah. Only 5% get past 2 years.
Yeah. So you're sitting there with the family and hearing this.
Yes. At that time, I just heard it and went, oh, okay, yep. It's what I expected, if you know what I mean. But that was good. It might have been, so I went, okay, it's that sort of news. But then, everyone started crying. Quietly.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And so that was, here we go.
Yeah.
But I feel like a bit of a fake, because I got over the operation really well. So you had brain surgery.
I saw that photo.
There and there. Yeah.
Just after you'd come out.
Yeah.
And that was a wild scar.
Yeah. Yeah. They just sped up my receding process.
Yeah. But, the scars recovered phenomenally in two weeks.
No, very, very well. And so I was in hospital. I felt like a fake, because even though I have this deadly dangerous, very dangerous cancer, I'm feeling fine. And other people are very bedridden, not moving, struggling to go to the toilet. Greg's going, the doctors came there at one time to see me just after it, and they're looking for me because, they go around the beds. And I'd gone down and bought a paper and bought a coffee from down the shops. And I was wandering back in again. Where you been? Oh, I'm just getting cut. Oh, so you're feeling all right? Yes.
But they're saying it is going to go downhill. Yeah.
What they want to say is, we don't know what your body's going to do. We can tell you the median.
Yeah.
This is what you'd expect. But you could be on this scale. You could be running a marathon. Some people do with radiation, and yeah, you know, they keep doing fitness to the other end where they go to bed and you know, hardly get up.
Yeah.
And that's all within normal. And then who gets through? It's got nothing to do which end of the scale you're on.
Right.
One of the things they've identified, the only thing they said is eat healthily as best you can. Have a balanced diet and do some exercise, because one of the things we've identified is they tend to eat healthy and they tend to do some sort of exercise. So that's the only bit of advice I've been given at that level.
Right.
Yeah. So what do you do? One of the things that is people really, really want to help you, and I was inundated by the way the staff took over my diary, and they just dished everything out. Everything's done at that level, and so do what you can do. Emails and texts and, you know, another sort of communication of people praying for me. But then you also get a lot of people wanting to tell you about the person they knew that had something like that and all of the advice.
Yeah.
Which for me is just more confusing.
Yeah.
Especially when they've been playing with my brain. And so it gets confusing. And so I've had a lovely friend who's very, very good at research and who takes what I get off, and I send it to her, and she researches it like crazy and then sends you back results and articles and things if you want to read more about it,
right.
Which has been very helpful.
Very helpful.
Yeah. Because I don't want to go looking through all the stuff. I would rather, I look a bit, but I'd rather be set in the right direction.
Yeah. How was it going back to church the first time? I'm imagining you've been overwhelming.
Sue, I married very, very well.
You
had a lovely family. And Sue sends out, you know, these little information things. And one of the things she said to everyone is, please don't ask him how he feels, or please just give him space. Here's enough information for you to survive on, and then, you know, wait a little bit. So people actually wanted to, but very much treated me like normal, but treated me like suddenly, you know, I was very weak.
Right.
Or very, you know, be careful. Need to be handled with, you know, kid gloves and
right.
So everyone, do you want me to get your coffee? Yeah, like everyone's been nice like before, but it was a different way of asking if you want a coffee or you want a okay, this is what it feels like when you're sick and everyone's trying to care for you. Which was lovely. They were very caring. And people coming out of lots and lots of places to do that.
Yeah.
But so church was great. It was great.
You've obviously had a conversation with God about it.
Yes. It is different giving people advice, and I do, the things that you've told people and encouraged people with, you have the same conversation with yourself about God is in control and God is sovereign and he has a plan. And he's going to use this and, all fixed when Jesus returns, you know, that sort of idea. So I never for a moment didn't question him that could come, but I haven't questioned, that level. I've felt comforted. I feel his presence. I feel that, the promises of the gospel, the promises of him being with me, I'm with you, and it is just comforting. And so that was comforting. My talk with God, my discussion with God, which is yet to be fully had, is really, I know God doesn't need me. He can use rocks. He can use whatever he wants, but yeah, my hope, my dream, my prayer was that I had more to do.
Yeah.
In a running a church type mode. That might be coming to an end soon.
Yeah.
So we're having that conversation. I thought you'd use me anyway, type conversation. And the other thing is that I'm finding really weird is that since staff have taken over, they still need someone ahead of it, but since staff's taken over, I'm usually the person who's trying to encourage us to keep moving, to keep doing what we said, to be better at what we do. And now that I'm not quite the leader I'm finding that I've got less energy for that, yet I've had energy for that all my life in ministry. And so it's just weird feeling like I still want to do it and I need to do it, but the drive to do it has somehow been connected to the you're not there. It's probably going into my psychological problems, but or faults or imbalances, but that's certainly how it's coming together. So God and I are having those little chats going, what are you teaching me now? And I think it's the same stuff, but only at a much deeper level.
Yeah.
When I came home from hospital, I just had this unbelievable, so it was coming home at tea time type thing, dinner time, evening meal, and we came home and it was just after tea really, and strong desire, we got into bed and I just couldn't go to sleep till I looked at the photo albums, the kids' photo albums.
Right.
I just had to remember life, I had to remember the kids, remember getting that, remember it. And it was just, and I couldn't relax till I'd read and thank God for what I'd had. And then I could sort of settle. While I was in hospital, that was okay. As soon as I got home, I had to remember. I had to, and it made me thankful.
Yeah.
At most of my life, I've been sort of an optimist, so I tend to lean towards the good rather than look at the what will be left behind and what I'll miss out on and how they'll cope.
I mean, I'm imagining there's been some teary moments. I mean, I was in tears this morning telling a friend that I was going to have this conversation with you. And I thought, wow, if this is how I'm feeling and I'm quite detached. Yeah.
Well, as we get on to emotional problems, one of mine is one of the ways I'm smiling while I'm doing this, which probably isn't something smiling, but one of the ways I cope is by withdrawing. I know it's going to sound silly. So if I get really stressed or life's busy, and what I do is I sort of separate myself.
Yeah.
And so when you say it's been teary moments, there's just been reflective of what this will mean, but for me, that's enough.
Yeah.
For the moment, anyway.
What's it, as you've talked about the future for Pitt Town Anglican Church, because you've given a long time of love and care and service to that group, And you'd expected a lot longer things,
Yep. And really an unknown future. You know, to get a median of 15 months to 18 months means some die earlier, a few, and some, you know.
Yeah.
So who knows but God.
Yeah.
And, what that will mean. Certainly I am being well prayed for, which is a great, great comfort.
People want to know, I want to know how we can support you, how we can love you.
Yes. Well, for me, I withdraw for energy like I withdraw to cope, if you know what I mean. So I like people coming, but I like to pace them because I love people. So I love people, but I withdraw for energy.
Yeah.
That's really how it works. So introvert in that way.
Yeah.
So praying for me, knowing people pray for me, you know, ask to come and see, that's fine, but let me pace it out.
Yeah.
And I think my treatment is at the moment 7 weeks of radiation every day, basically. And it's actually 7 weeks that it's worked out being. 7 weeks of radiation and chemo. The radiation, I don't notice yet, but they say it'll make me tired and burn and, you know, a little bit red and all that sort of stuff, and people have different things. But the chemo, which I've taken 2 nights now, I felt very nauseous the first night. I had a bad night. Last night I vomited.
Yeah, because you're looking fine now.
Yeah.
But you've only just started.
Oh, yeah. I still feel like I could go for a run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. Till I get going.
Do you worry about what it will do to your mind?
I do, but every thought that you could imagine has run through my mind, I'm glad I married so well.
Yeah.
And caring family, kids, church. So I feel, you know, but it would be sad, to be stepped down or to stop or to be, you know, because your mind is not working properly, which could happen.
Yeah.
For a period or, yeah, because they're playing with it. They're burning off
bits of it.
Bits of it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've got that much to spare.
We read in Romans 8 that God works all good things for those who love him.
Yeah.
You've obviously wrestled with that verse.
Still not. I was hoping for another plan.
Yeah.
But I'll take his plan. I'm comforted by the truth that it's not out of control. That's comforting.
Yeah.
But that he's working and using it for good. How? If it goes in the median direction, it won't be in the way I think. It'll be in a different way.
Yeah.
It certainly is going to give me a lot of gospel conversations with people in the community.
Yeah.
And already having some, but I'm trying to build them up.
Yeah. Been just walking down the street with you last week. It seemed like the shopkeepers knew what was going on.
So it would be through the gossip or that sort of train, in that nice sense of gossip, in people telling, we haven't put it anywhere yet. So it's not on the website or anything like that. But people who know me could find it, or anyone who's in those connections. But we haven't really told the community. But, you know, churches are reasonable size and they're in the community, and that's certainly affecting them. They are wondering what's going to happen with me, with the church.
What about you've got a grandchild on the way, but you've obviously given thought to your children.
What are the things that depress me, or what are the things that I'll find hard? One is leaving Sue behind. That will be hard. Being the nice grandfather who's around for a fair while, the kids know and grandchildren know. Just wanting to watch my kids keep growing up and growing old as long as I can.
Yeah.
They're the things that, Yeah, and I always imagined a fairly healthy retirement where I attach myself to churches here and there and help someone who would like that sort of evangelistic help.
Yeah.
And I might still do that, but it might be with a way less energy and less,
Yeah.
So that's the big one. It's the kids and,
What can we pray for you?
I think it takes a lot of wisdom at this level. You know, you've got the, I need to encourage and help Sue set up for a possible future without me.
Or
a sick future. And I need to be with the help of other wise people and bishops and things. You know, what might be the future for the church too and how we get it ready too. Because I think churches take the, they become the shape that you're happy with, but they might not be the shape the next person's happy with, even though they're going in a healthy direction. So pray for wisdom in those two things, both with their interesting issues and praying that, but praying that I'll keep trusting Christ, that I'll keep being comforted by the gospel and his truth, comforted that he knows what's best and he can look after, my wife and kids and grandchildren.
Why don't we pray for you now?
Okay. Good.
Our Father God, you are the one who is sovereign over all, and you love us as our Heavenly Father. And we pray for Greg and Sue and Blake and Tyler, and their wives and Cassie, for the church family at Pitt Town as they navigate this journey together. Thanks so much for the way that Greg has been able to be used by you to lead so many to trust in the Lord Jesus and grow in the Lord Jesus. And we pray that you might give him more of that to do. Father, as they grapple with this sickness, with this terrible cancer, we pray that you might look after Sue particularly and give her strength. We pray for wise decisions, for setting her up for a future, that you might care for her, that you might give her the support that she needs. Thanks for the friendship that Greg has extended and given to so many of us and the way that he's loved and cared for so many people. And we pray that you might just knit this church and this family with love and that they might trust you, that they might trust your goodness. We pray for wisdom for the doctors. We pray that there wouldn't be confusion about decisions that have to be made, but you'd give Greg and Sue great wisdom. And that they might know and love the comfort of the arms of Christ. And we pray this in your powerful name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming and talking to us.
Yeah. My privilege.
Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover the Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.